serious question I want to ask you. We were talking about race car tracks earlier today, and some of the greatest times as a youth was having a race car track. But I was curious, when you play, did you ever have teammates, you know, play a spoof where they brought their race car track on the road, a.k.a. Slapshot?
No.
No.
No. When that scene, when I first saw that scene, I'm like, "What the hell does that?" Maybe it did happen somewhere, but yeah, I mean, back in the day, but no, I never saw that.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what's funny? Bruce Boudreaux, we had him on the DFL Rundown podcast. They filmed Slapshot some of the scenes in his actual apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. He was telling us some unreal stories about Slapshot. I love that movie. It's so odd, except the ending. I don't like the ending, but nonetheless. I know you're a big golf guy, Ray. Who are you rooting for this week?
You know what? I like Colin Morikawa. I don't know that he's going to be in the mix. I like Tony Finau, and I like John Rahm. John Rahm is the guy I think has a legit chance to win. I did pick yesterday on Overdrive in Toronto. I said, even though he's a guy nobody wants to cheer for, I think Patrick Reed's going to be is going to be a factor. And I see he's up on the leaderboard. He's 2 under. So yeah, I'm on my couch and I'm watching. And I don't know. I love the tournament.
Oh, it's a great tournament. Have you ever been to Augusta?
No, never. Never been there. It's one of those bucket list dream things that maybe one day, somehow, some way, to get there. Not been there.
Well, I guess you'd almost have to retire though from TSN because it's always on right near the end of the regular season in the playoffs.
Some things you got to do, right? You know, you have to.
Yeah, you know.
If I got
true.
A chance to play there and I got to retire to do it, well.
Yeah. Well, or you could just ask for a week. Right? Just say, you know what? I just want 1 weekend off. That's all I need. It's no big deal.
Yeah, you'd like to think your boss would understand, but maybe not.
Yeah. Well, if you get in, yeah, you get tickets to it. That'd be great. Give me your thoughts on the Islander trade.
It makes a lot of sense for me in that, you know, the Islanders had cap space, room, and need. After Anders Lee went out of the lineup, they had a bunch of cap space, and they needed forwards. They get two guys that, you know, that they're very familiar with, not just Lou Lamoriello, but Barry Trotz would be really familiar with these guys because, you know, he would have, you know, when he was in Washington, he would have seen the Islanders a lot. And so, you know, Palmieri and Zajac wouldn't have been any secret for them. I think Palmieri is a bit of a declining asset. Zajac is, you know, is not, you know, is not going to provide you a lot of offense. But what I like about the deal, I do think that that Palmieri's still able to score a bit. I do think that Zajac would be hard to play against because of his size and how smart he is. But they fit the way that the Islanders play. And I think that's important. A lot of times we might forget that, in that a player gets acquired in a trade, season ends, and we go, yeah, that guy never really fit. But if you think of it, well, his style of game doesn't fit the style of game that the team is playing. So, you know, the Islanders could have gone and maybe chased Taylor Hall, and I don't know, maybe they will or was part of the equation, I don't know. But Hall doesn't seem like a New York Islander to me. He doesn't seem to fit the mold of how they're trying to play. And so I think that's important as you're trying to add somebody late in a season.
Yeah. Do you see a team that fits, like that would really benefit from Hall?
Well, it depends what you think he is, right? I mean, he's got 2 goals this year. The last 3 years, I think he's averaged about 15 or 16 goals. If you're looking for a goal scorer, you've probably got the wrong guy. If you're looking for somebody that can create with his speed and is more of a passer than a shooter, or a scorer, rather, then yeah. But I got to be careful about what I'm paying for him. I think we tend to look at the best year a player has and think that's the regular year, as opposed to maybe that was a bit of a highlight. You know, the last 3 years would scare me about Hall. As far as a team to fit, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Boston needs offense. They need it bad. Or is it Boston going to, is Boston going to add at the deadline, or are they going to look at it and go, you know what, maybe this isn't the year. Maybe we have to you know, just take it on the chin this year because we're not good enough. Does Taylor Hall make them a legit contender, or does their lack of experience on the blue line really hurt them? And because Hall doesn't do anything for that. But Boston would be a team that I would think of, I guess. You know, you would play him with Krejci, who's a passer. You'd have Hall's speed, and hopefully you have somebody on the other side that's a finisher.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, the Colorado Avalanche have absolutely been rolling. Now, I know they lost last night to Minnesota, but, you know, prior to that, they've gone 15 games to the point. And, like, their big guns, I've noticed, of like McKinnon and Rantanen and Landeskog, they're a pretty dominant line, no question. Obviously, they need a backup goalie in Colorado. That's Captain Obvious. But how important do you think it is to get a defenseman, you know, to fill in for Johnson? He's only played 4 games this year, so it's not like they've missed him, but that's still, man, like, imagine if he was healthy, how good they'd be.
Yeah, I do wonder about their size on the blue line, but I don't wonder for a second if Sam Girard's a good player or Cale Makar is an awesome player. You know, like, I don't wonder about that. I wonder if they've got enough size. If Ryan Graves does a nice job for them. He's big, and man, did he kind of come out of nowhere to be an effective player. I just think I'd like to see a little more size back there, because it's somewhere along the line, it always seems to be, you need some guy to fill in, to be a horse for you, to you know, to take some heavy minutes away from a pair when they get hemmed in their zone for a couple of games in a row or a couple of periods in a row. They don't have that without Johnson. Now, I mean, I don't know what they could possibly expect if he were ever to come back this year. As you say, he's, you know, just played 4 games. I do think an immediate need is they've got to find a backup goalie. They have to. No. They look at last year when Grubauer went down and Francouz couldn't get it done. They ended up with Michael Hutchinson. And, you know, that can't happen to a team that's that good right now.
No, not at all. They are really good. You look at Vegas, you know, Minnesota. The more you see him, Ray, man, I'll be honest. Like, I watch Minnesota games now because of Kirill Kaprizov. Like, that, I just like everything about him. Like, he's a fun player to watch.
He's fun, skilled, energetic. He's got a magnetic personality. Like, when you watch him, Minnesota's needed this. Like, this is a,
yes,
you know, this is a pull-in player for their fans and for the people that follow that team. They haven't had an exciting player like this since Marian Gaborik, probably. And I know they had success other ways, but this is different. Kaprizov's a player. He's a scorer. He's a dynamic player. Kevin Fiala had an unbelievable day last night. That gives them a couple of one-strike exciting players. You know, my old buddy Dean Evason does a good job there. He's a competitive guy. Minnesota's a competitive, maybe surprising team. They've gotten good goaltending, which certainly never hurts. Talbot and Kekkonen have been very good for them. But, you know, Kaprizov's their headliner. I mean, he's a fun guy to watch.
Oh, he's a very exciting player to watch, and you're right. They've needed that, because they just, you know, that might finally end the stigma of Minnesota, because for years it didn't matter. I was just like, oh, it's Minnesota, they're boring. I couldn't, like, when I saw their jersey, I just saw boring. That's all I saw. I'm not saying it's
yeah, you know what they should
bias.
Do? They should wear their new jerseys, the
all
third
the
year or whatever, the
yes.
reverse retros. That should be their regular jersey, and they've got a new look and a new team. That's what I like.
Yeah. Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, we're 3 days away. What do you think the Leafs do and the Jets?
Well, Jets, I think, are going to have to add a defenseman. Not have to. Let me put it this way. Derek Forbert got hurt last week. He was okay, but he got banged up in a game. And when he left, the game, instantly you thought about the Jets' defense, and I went, oh boy, they got a problem. Because Sammy Niku is their next guy. They had Nathan Beaulieu, but Beaulieu's out for the season with shoulder surgery. I think they need another big-bodied guy, somebody that can play in their top 4 if possible, just to insulate them if they get some kind of injury. It's irrational to think a team's going to go on a long run and not have any injuries to their blue line. I know the Kings won a Stanley Cup using the same six defensemen in and out every game. Same six guys. I mean, that just seems impossible, improbable. So I think the Jets, it's a defenseman. Toronto, I don't know if they can really make themselves believe that Galchenyuk is the answer on the second line for them. I've liked how he's played. I think he's worked hard and done a nice job for him. But he's got one goal in, I think, 10 games. You're going to need production out of that spot. And when Nylander was out last night, you ended up with Mikheyev on your second line. That's not a team that's going to be able to win. They need to insulate themselves a little bit, too.
So you think they need another depth forward? Like kind of like a
I wouldn't
nine.
Say a depth forward. I think they need more. I think they need somebody to be able to play on the left side at Tavares. So that wouldn't be depth to me. Galchenyuk becomes your depth.
Okay.
Because he's been fine for them. He has been just fine.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Does Taylor Hall make sense for them if they can make the cap space work?
I haven't been thrilled watching Taylor Hall this year. I don't know how much of it is a downer to where he's been and the way that this year has gone for Buffalo. I mean, outside of not being a great team, but the coach firing, the total shutdown for a few weeks with COVID, the repercussions of that when guys came back. I can't tell you if Hall's a difference maker or not. I can't tell you. I keep going back to he's got two goals.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's fair.
That really concerns me.
Now, Ray, trade deadlines here, and, I talked to different players over the years, and, it depends on who you are. And, some guys go from a bad team, and they get to a new team, and it's just like all of a sudden the cloud lifts, and it's just like this is unreal. But then other times you go there and then there's too much pressure. You're like, oh my God, I got to make a big splash. And it's not just like instant success, especially it seems for kind of offensive guys, because if you bring in like a big position guy in your team, it bumps everybody down and somebody might get their nose out of joint, right? Like, did you ever experience it as a player where like the pros and the cons of the trade deadline?
Well, I wouldn't say, somebody directly like that, but the con is, and everybody knows, a new player comes in and somebody's spot on the roster is in jeopardy. Their ice time is in jeopardy. They're not bringing a guy in to support you. If they didn't need support, if we were doing so well, we wouldn't make that deal. So there's always uneasiness around because you don't know what management's thinking. You don't know how it's going to directly impact you. But we've seen it time and time again. Guys you think are going to be difference makers, they're just not. They don't become that. And part of the reason is you don't have many games to get on board. You're not comfortable. It just doesn't, sometimes it just doesn't fit. And I'd say that's way more common than guys that come in and make a big splash.
Yeah, no, totally. I totally agree with you. It's fair. Do you, one last one for fun. Do you think the Edmonton Oilers do anything?
No. I don't. I mean, I can't imagine that they're thinking about, moving assets to acquire a rental. I just don't see the prudence of that. As tempting as it is to try and get somebody to maybe play alongside of McDavid, I just don't see it. I just see this summer with tens of millions of dollars coming off the cap. I just see that as the time that the Oilers take an aggressive stance and try and move forward. Like, that's the time for me. Now, whether they get Nugent Hopkins signed or they use the money that might have gone to him if they can't come to an agreement to chase somebody else, I don't know. But I'm looking at that and I'm like, man, that's a lot of money to really put some impact into your lineup. I don't see why you would, why you would trade future assets to go ahead and try and make a rental buy.
Ray, quickly, how's Puppy going?
Ups and downs, still cute, still not getting the business done where it's supposed to be done a lot of times.
Oh, are you still a champ at knowing just when he's gone, when to get him out of the house?
No, sometimes you just miss. You miss the window, and before you turn around, it's no good. By the way, as I'm watching the Masters here, Jordan Spieth in the woods, he hits a tree. This thing goes about 30 yards left. He's still in the woods. That's our golf right there.
Oh, yeah, touche, Ray. Have a good one, my man. We'll talk to you after the trade deadline. We'll see who's made a splash or not.
Yep, we'll see what happens. I hope there's something going on. You know, it's going to be, of course, really difficult, but there'll be stuff that'll be interesting to talk about, and we'll kick it around next week.
I'll be watching you on Monday. Once there's no trades, you'll just be telling everybody about your dog training stories. So that'll be great.
I might bring the dog on. How about that?
Oh, there you go. Yes, why not? Little dog tricks with Ray.
There you go. Stupid pet tricks. Me and David Letterman.
That'll be awesome. That was actually funny stuff.
Have a good one, Jason.
You too, Ray.